You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, we talk to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who says the mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando emphasizes the need to change blood donation requirements for gay and bisexual men.
First, for many families, the issue of obtaining food and having enough to eat is a chronic concern.
Food insecurity is a growing problem, not only nationwide, but closer to home, right here in Wisconsin. Hunger and food insecurity affects one out of every five children in the state, and 55% of children in Wisconsin public schools qualify for free or reduced lunches.
Joining us now to talk about food insecurity is Nick Heckman. He's the food security policy analyst at Public Health Madison and Dane County. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Well, let's talk about the terminology. What do we mean when we use the term food insecurity?
Well, the technical definition of food insecurity is whether families have enough enough food for an active and healthy life. And if they don't, then they would qualify as food insecure.
Give us some examples. What are the kinds of things that would happen when a family was experiencing that?
Well, there's a number of different experiences that families could have. They may have to resort to different sources for their food if they don't have direct access to affordable and nutritious food at a grocery store or at another nearby retail site. They may have to go to a convenience store or use fast food for a number of their meals, which can have a whole host of different health consequences down the line as the nutrition is not necessarily as plentiful in those food sources.
And skipping a meal, that kind of thing, is that part of what you might see?
Absolutely. So children and families that are food insecure are measured by the likelihood in which that they would have skipped a meal.
How many people are affected by food insecurity in Dane County and in Wisconsin?
In Dane County, we know we have about 11.6, in the state of Wisconsin, we have about 11.6% of all people are food insecure. The number for Dane County, if we use a slightly different measurement by Feeding America, is about 11.8% of all individuals, and then 17% of all children.
And are there any particular groups of people who are more affected than others?
Absolutely. So disabled people are about 37.7% likely for to have food insecurity. Hispanic and African American households are both around 35%. And single mothers are also near that mark of about 35%.
Now, compared with the national numbers, how does Wisconsin look?
As a whole, Wisconsin ranks slightly below the national average in food insecurity. But if you break it out by those groups, by race and by ethnicity, then some of these groups have striking differences with the national groups. So,
We have higher rates, is that
yes.
what
you're saying? Yes. Well, so the rate of food insecurity among white households in Wisconsin is lower than the national average, but among African American and Hispanic households, it's significantly higher than national counterparts.
When we look at a problem like food insecurity, what are the factors that contribute to that?
There's a number of different areas that can kind of work together, and we kind of talk about it as four areas, four table legs, as it were, that work together to create a food insecure or food secure environment. And the first one is really the economy. So food insecurity is an income issue at heart, and how much money families have due to their wages and their employment is a big factor, but also other budget items like housing and child care and medical costs that can present immediate challenges, and oftentimes food is the thing that families will crunch out of the budget and be able to flex out of their budget in order to make ends meet.
So income is one factor. What about availability of food?
Yeah, so another table leg would be the availability of affordable and nutritious food, and we see that in the kind of the area of food deserts that get talked about. Is there food available locally for families to actually make those food purchases?
So can it be that sometimes maybe there is income, but there's not a place to purchase the kind of food that would sustain a family?
Yeah, absolutely. There can be specific challenges, and particularly in rural areas, we'll see food insecurity be more directly related to transportation challenges. So if people have a long ways to go to get to the local grocery store or to the nearest grocery store, that may present a lot more difficulty than it would in an urban setting where they may have public transportation or other options.
We're talking with Nick Heckman right now, food security policy analyst for Public Health Madison and Dane County, talking about issues of food insecurity in Wisconsin and also in Dane County. And looking at where Wisconsin is right now, this particular point in time, how does Wisconsin look coming out of the Great Recession?
As a whole, we're still more food insecure than we were prior to the recession. The rate of decline, so things have started to move back towards a lower level of food insecurity, and the economy has been improving in a lot of different ways, but it hasn't been declining as fast as it accelerated back in 2007 and 2008.
Is that true nationally as well, or is that particular to Wisconsin?
Yeah, it is true across the country. We're seeing those same kind of trends of kind of a quick increase that has been followed by a slower decline.
Now, children, I know, are a special concern when you talk about food insecurity. Why the concern so much with children? What happens when children don't have reliable nutrition?
Well, there's been many specific lifelong health behaviors that can be established in childhood that are important, particularly around nutrition, but also in the school environment. It's important that kids have access to healthy and affordable and nutritious food options as it sets the stage for learning in the classroom.
And any other health outcomes that might come into play down the road when children aren't getting enough to eat?
We know that actually it's sort of a paradox that food insecurity can be related to obesity and the prevalence of obesity in certain populations because, as I mentioned, when you don't have access to the best food choices, sometimes you make unhealthy food choices that are more affordable in the short term but end up with ramifications on your health that can lead to obesity, diabetes, and other health issues down the road.
And I suppose sitting in a classroom trying to learn and absorb stuff on an empty stomach, that can't be something that's a positive for grades and learning.
Absolutely not. And another one of our areas of focus is the federal nutrition programs that are very important for addressing food insecurity. So the school meal program, which serves breakfast and lunch to classrooms across the state of Wisconsin, is very important for helping a lot of children and a lot of families during the school year.
And then what happens in the summer? Here we are. There is no school.
Exactly. So there's another federal program, which is called the Summer Food Service Program, which does serve meals to children in summer school and other sites, including some park sites throughout the summer months. In fact, here in Dane County, we've just had our launch of, and across the state, we've had the launch of the summer food program for this year. And it's a very important program, but unfortunately, it's not used at the same rate as the school year program. And so as a consequence, we see that a lot of food pantries and emergency food providers see an uptick in people visiting them over the summer months.
And so when school is in swing, do these children, they're getting breakfast and lunch?
It depends on the school, but in a number of schools in Madison and Milwaukee and across the state, we do see that breakfast and lunch are made available to all children. And then in other sites, lunch is available universally, but breakfast can be picked up at different districts and different places.
Now, how hard is it to get a handle on food insecurity when you can't really see it? If you just look at someone, you may not know what their life is like at home, whether they're getting enough to eat, especially children, but for grown-ups too. How do you know? So how do you tackle it if you can't see it?
It's a very difficult problem to address while also being sensitive to the personal situation that people are put into. We need to be sensitive to the stigma that surrounds being food insecure, and for some families that may add to a feeling of not being able to provide. To be sensitive to that while also measuring it effectively, we really need to make sure that our the conversations we have around food insecurity are sensitive and public, and we're normalizing it for families so that they understand that there's paths that they can take to help alleviate their situation in the short term and get back out of their food crisis.
So you said making it a conversation that's sensitive and that's public. Why does the public aspect help?
Well, I think back to just normalizing the issue and making people feel like they're not alone, that they can access programs like these Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP or Food Share in Wisconsin. These are really critical programs for helping families that are in these situations, that are in a short-term food crisis, kind of make that budget work for the time being, and then bring it all together. And as their situation changes, hopefully through the long-term solution of improving their personal finances through, you know, long-term employment and healthy wages, that their food insecurity situation will be resolved without those supports.
We're talking with Nick Heckman right now. He's the Food Security Policy Analyst at Public Health Madison in Dane County, and he's joining us here in studio to talk about food insecurity in Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think could or should be done to alleviate food insecurity? Maybe you've experienced food insecurity yourself. What was your experience? Should the government do more to help people facing hunger, or should it come from somewhere else? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. You can also email your thoughts to talk@wpr.org.
We'll continue our conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Right now, we're continuing the conversation about food insecurity with Nick Heckman, Food Security Policy Analyst at Public Health Madison in Dane County.
And we want to hear from you. What should be done to reduce hunger in our communities? Do you deal with a lack of access to healthy food? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. You can also email your thoughts to talk@wpr.org.
And Nick, let's talk solutions. We talked about the problem, getting the scope of it, and how many people it can affect here in Wisconsin. What are the solutions?
Well, there's certainly the short-term solutions of the food pantries, the meal sites, the shelters that play a very important role in our emergency food system. There's also the federal nutrition safety net. So the previously mentioned program, Food Share in Wisconsin. There's a number of other programs such as WIC, which is the Women, Infants, and Children's Nutrition Program, school meals, summer meals, and a variety of other programs that kind of work together to help families make ends meet and in their food situation. Beyond that, looking at those bigger picture economic questions that are going to help people resolve their food situation permanently are much more important and really the true way that we can kind of resolve this problem for all people.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Rob on the line in Sussex. Rob, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What did you want to share?
I think the WIC program you're talking about there, where they just pick out the staple items and you can't get anything you want. I think more people will be on board for supporting that versus where you just get a credit card and you go in there and you buy steaks and soda and everything that most people have to budget for. And a lot of people get a little ticked off in line when they see somebody pull a food stamp card and $200 worth of steaks and...
Rob, thank you. So I think Rob is concerned about, you know, abuse of this, looking at what people can and can't buy. And this has come up again from time to time in the legislature, people looking at, you know, should we put limits on what someone might be able to buy with their assistance? What do you have to say to Rob?
Well, I think it's a good question. And I think we all want each other to be good public stewards of money that we're receiving, just like food share dollars. When the research has looked at the diets of people on food share, they haven't seen dramatic differences from the diets of the average American. So we can kind of tell that if there's a question around nutrition and decision food choices that is occurring at the grocery store, that's a global nutrition education concern that we might need to be looking at more broadly. Beyond simply restricting what we can purchase, there's a number of programs that are being piloted around the state, including ones here locally in Madison and Dane County that actually incentivize healthy food choices. So there's a Double Dollars program at farmers markets in Dane County now that the city of Madison and other partners have brought together, have come together to allow people who are spending money at the farmer's market on their EBT, on their food share card, to actually get that money doubled to have an additional benefit that can be spent on fresh fruits and vegetables. So incentivizing those healthy food choices rather than punitively limiting the food, which can be cumbersome and stigmatizing for a number of reasons, is you know, a way that I would suggest we can all kind of resolve some of that.
Rob, thanks for the call. And we go next to Dwayne calling from Butternut. Dwayne, hi.
Well, hello there. I hope you can hear me. I'm kind of in a bad spot with my cell phone here.
So far, so good.
Okay, great. Now, listen, I just kind of wondering if anybody has thought about, you know, you got a lot of restaurants and a lot of, well, let's say like casinos and stuff when they put on their
I think I made out the word buffet there. I think I got where he was going with that. Dwayne, you did you drifted away on us there, but I think he was getting at the amount of waste that can be generated from restaurants and, you know, buffets and grocery stores. And there's a number of advocates out there who say a lot of this food is still edible and it should be eaten. What about that as a part of the solution?
I think the recovery of food waste is definitely an important and possibly underlooked part of the food system as a whole that that creates a lot of opportunities. We know that a lot of restaurants and other vendors are reluctant to donate their used food for concerns around liability. But there are ways around that, and there are Good Samaritan laws that are in place so that those people can reach out. And again, another project to highlight would be one here in Dane County called the Feed Kitchen, which has done great work in food recovery from big corporations in their cafeteria systems, bringing that food, repackaging it, and then getting it out to the emergency food sites, the pantries and meal sites. They can't necessarily accept food that's in giant trays and things that are being used in restaurants, but if it's been repackaged in a commercial kitchen, then it can be redistributed in the emergency food system. So it's a capacity issue partly. Do we have access to those commercial kitchens and spaces that we can do that repackaging? And do we have the volunteer support and the kind of manpower to handle all of that?
Well, thank you for the call, Dwayne. And our next caller is Amaya in Manitowoc. Amaya, hi.
Hi. I don't know what to say as in terms of a suggestion to fix it because I'm not really sure, but I do have to say, especially speaking about the programs that the school has, we have two kids here and they do take advantage of the school breakfast and lunch during the summer as well, which is a huge help. But when you go on Facebook, when you're online, social media, there are so many memes floating around that are just demonizing people who are struggling. And it seems like there's such a dehumanization of the poor in general. And I think it makes it a lot harder for people to be willing to seek out that help because there's so much judgment that they face on a regular basis. And you don't know what somebody's going through, but it's so easy for people to make a quick judgment and treat you poorly as a result. And I think that's a shame because then kids suffer as well.
Amaya, thank you for that. And she is getting at the problem that you've been talking about a little bit, Nick, as well, stigma that can surround issues like this, issues of shame that can be barriers to people getting the food that they need. So how do you begin to combat something like that?
You know, I think we all can understand that these kind of crises can occur to anybody at any given time when you lose a job or you lose a spouse or somebody who might be supporting your family. So having some understanding generally that this could happen to any of us is important. But to specifically address stigma, can we create an environment where when kids are participating in the program, they are comfortable with the way that the system is set up so that they don't have to eat separately from the kids who might be having the hot lunch or the free lunch, or excuse me, the kids who are giving a free meal aren't being seated or eating separately. That when you're spending money in the grocery store, it's not a significantly different experience than when you're swiping your normal credit card. Another population that's particularly vulnerable to that issue around stigma is seniors and older adults who have... Surveys have shown they have a lot of perceptions that are less willing to work with some of these available nutrition programs. And so making these programs, helping folks understand that these programs are available to everybody, and that they're really designed to help people get out of that short-term crisis, is very important.
Now, you mentioned earlier that pantries can contribute to the solution. They're often, it sounds like, seen sort of as the emergency solution when you don't have other avenues, other assistance available to you. Are the pantries in Wisconsin and in Dane County, are they able to handle the people who come to them? Do they have the capacity right now, or are we seeing pantries that are strapped?
Well, I know that the pantries always see an influx of donations around the winter holidays, and certainly something that we can all remember is that they continue to see clients throughout the rest of the year. So donating food at any time in the year, including the summer, when they do see an uptick, they actually see higher participation in the summer due to those children out of school, can be very important. So helping understand that our emergency food system kind of fills in those gaps in the access question, can be very important.
Now, in our last 30 seconds here, if someone's listening and they are looking for resources and places to go for help, where would you direct them?
The first place you can always try is to call 211 locally. That's a directory assistance that can help you find food resources in your area. Other community resources include UW Extension in your community might have a list of resources available to you.
All right, we'll leave it there. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking there to Nick Heckman. He's the Food Security Policy Analyst at Public Health Madison in Dane County. And he joined us there to talk about food insecurity here in Wisconsin. And don't forget, you can still join this conversation. You can tell us your story and your thoughts, maybe your solutions, what you've gone through. You can let us know over on the Central Time Facebook page. Also keep current with what we've done, what we're doing today on Central Time, what we've done in the past. We always love to hear from you. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.